Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master wealth builder, helping to build stronger and better lives, and especially in the city of Riviera Beach. I'm excited to be coming to you again live with my co-hosts, Dan Calloway and Steve White. We have another phenomenal show planned for you today. And right now, I'm going to turn it over to Steve. Steve, who do we have in the studio for today?
Okay. Let's see if Mr. Knowles, has he joined us? Let's see if we have him here.
Okay, I know Dan is on, so what we may want to do is go ahead and introduce Dan Calloway, and then we can go ahead and reach out to Mr. Knowles and confirm he has the right number.
Okay, so Mr. Calloway, you're there?
Just open his microphone.
Yeah, he should be open.
Hello, Dan, you there? I just talked.
Okay.
Just click to make sure his microphone is open too.
Okay, it's showing, but it's showing me a hold time. So why does he have a hold time?
No, do you see his phone number there?
4991. Yes.
Okay. So you see his microphone right next to the number, just like mine. Just make sure it's red.
Yes, I've clicked it. Yes. But it's showing, but it's
okay.
Indicating like as if he's on hold.
No, he's not on hold, because if you see his number and you open his microphone, now I just talked to him, so Dan, you might be on mute if you're talking, Dan.
Could be, because you're on the 546 number, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm good, you're good. Let me see if I can
Let me have Mr. Knowles number, and I'll go ahead and call him.
Okay, 701-7629. That's a 561 area code. 701-7629.
Yeah. I'll call him, and you can call Dan. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Please. And all of our listeners, just bear with us. This is live radio, and we are determined to make this show one of the best. So just hold on.
Didn't call you because I told him to call me back during the week. This is our last week for the education. We're going into business next week. That's why
okay.
I told him to call you if you got somebody. But really what I wanted personally was that you to be the last person. Now, we can extend it another time. I mean, to next week, because you need to give us a overview of the not only the tutorial program and whatever you want to say, because you are the expert in this here.
Okay, we can do that. We'll talk that over with Ann, and we can do that.
Yeah. Well, we can do it next week. But do you know Miley?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got a call. They told me she was in town, and she worked for NBC. She used to be one of my softball players out of over there with Leon and them. Federal guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Knowles is calling in now.
Okay.
She's calling now.
All right, so I'll bring him on, and I've got Mr. Calloway on my line. Did you hear me, Ann?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm putting myself on you. Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you, and
okay.
The world can hear you too.
Okay, very good. Well, that's important if the world can hear us then.
Yeah, so while we're waiting on Mr. Knowles to call in, his number ends in 7629.
Okay, he should be with us now.
Okay,
Brian Knowles, you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, so we have him, Ann.
All right, well, let's just go ahead and start again. So, again, my name is Ann McNeil, and I'm excited to be co-hosting this show with my co-host Dan Calloway and Steve White, and we have another awesome guest today, Mr. Knowles. Dan is going to introduce him, and we're going to go ahead and get this show started. We are talking about hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, and the focus and the premise of this show is to highlight a lot of the major accomplishments many of us have experienced from being born, raised, reared in the city of Riviera Beach, and for people who have just come to the city and added such phenomenal value. And so with that, Mr. Knowles is one of those people, and we'll hear from him as Dan Calloway introduces him and kicks the show off.
No, Steve's going to do it.
I'm going to, I'll introduce him. Okay, so, Brian Knowles is, well, first and foremost, I consider him to be a friend of mine, but most importantly, I asked him to join us because he is an educator, and he is the director of the Department of African and African-American Studies, and I believe Latino Studies and Gender Studies. So, Brian, let me know if I'm getting it all in with your title with the Palm Beach County School District.
You got most of it. I appreciate it, Steve. It's the Office of African, African-American, Latino, Holocaust, and Gender Studies.
Okay, with the Palm Beach County School District, and he is doing a phenomenal job there as the administrator of that particular department. So as we were saying, Brian, when I talked with you, one of the things that we have been doing for the last, well, not one of the things, but what we have been doing for the last few weeks with this program is we have been focusing on education. And, you know, and I could think of no one better than you to come on and talk about education and, you know, things that we can do or parents can do, the students can do to improve their educational experience in the Palm Beach County School District. And I guess in your particular position, you know, maybe one of the things you can talk about is what in particular your department does as a part of the Palm Beach County School District and its curriculum, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you all hear me, first of all?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure that you can hear me pretty clear. All right, so thank you, Brother Steve. Thank you, everybody else, for inviting me to the show. I'm always humbled to be able to kind of interact with my community and my people, and especially being able to communicate about education, which is probably the most critical institution that we have within our society. So as far as what my department or office does in our school district. So first of all, I want to kind of put out there that we've been in existence for over 26 years here in the Palm Beach County School District. This is important work that was, you know, kind of laid out by Dr. Marianne DuPont and also Sister Debbie Range, as far as making it important that because we do a lot of different things, and, you know, one of the many things is that we do is that we – first of all, we develop curriculum and instruction and materials around those subject areas, around African history, African-American history, Latino studies, Holocaust studies, and also gender studies, because we really believe that in our school district, for our children to fully be able to succeed and be able to engage in an educational experience, they need to be able to see themselves. So we know that within all those groups, and for this space, I want to just kind of take out when we talk about children of African descent, that we've been marginalized and completely just not even affirmed and validated in our educational system. And one of those ways that you validate our children is teach our history. And outside of when we talk about teaching our history in an accurate way, we want to make sure that we equipped our teachers in cultural responsive teaching practices and making sure that we can set up learning environments where our kids can have their culture, have their values, have their perspectives, just the very way that they see the world, and it should be brought into the classroom so those children can be fully validated and also affirmed in the classroom.
Okay. All right, Ms. Calloway, did you have a question for him?
Yes, I do. Mr. Knowles, I'm proud of you. This is Dan Calloway.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You called Debbie Raines and Ms. DuPont. I know those people really well, especially Debbie Raines and Sister Andrea. I think that we should put a little more emphasis on next month, Black History Month. When I was in school years and years ago, that was a month that we learned everything, the nomenclature of all black people, where they started from. And, of course, one of the great athletes died over the weekend, Hank Aaron, and things like that. Kids need to know their heritage. Now, are you fighting to make sure that get into the curriculum in the schools? Because right now it's not Black history, teaching that in February, which we should be teaching it year-round.
Yes, that's what we fight to do. And to say that we don't have it in our school systems is not an entire truth, because over these years, that's one of the things that we've been fighting for a long time, making sure, first of all, that we can capitalize on the consciousness of our people during Black History Month, but making sure that first that it's important that we normalize the teaching of African and Black people in this country, in this world, matter of fact. And that's why it's important that we do it throughout the year. So we have in our course, in our curriculum, right? Matter of fact, right now we have 24 of our high schools that offer or teach a course of African history or African American history or both at this current point.
Oh, so, but it's selected. It's not mandated that they're going to have this. That's maybe where I'm wrong.
So that is an elective course, but one of the other things that we've been fighting for, it is something that can, it's an elective course, but one of the things that we've been fighting for as well and that we've actually gained traction on is making sure that that history is taught across all core subject areas, to make sure that it's included in English course, to make sure that our literature is represented in English, making sure that our children from K all the way through 12 can have reading courses with literature, or they can see themselves in the culture. I've actually been working, even taking a step further, working with our curriculum developers, even in our math and science department, to making sure that our history and our culture is even represented in even those subject areas. So those subject areas are core, and those something, regardless of where you are and what you select, that you're required to take those courses.
Beautiful. Are we fighting harder to get more male educators in the Palm Beach County school system and of color?
Yes. As far as leading that fight, that would be more so a human resources issue. But one of the things that we did that I was able to do, actually 2 years ago, our school district was the first school district in the state of Florida to pass what you know as an equity policy. So here in Palm Beach County, and anybody listening or anybody that's involved in this right now can go on to the school district website and look up school board policy 1.041. And that's something that I actually, in collaboration with the community, wrote back in 2000, that was passed back in 2018. And part of that is making sure that we recruit and retain teachers that look like our kids. And part of that is making sure that we have Black teachers and Black male teachers especially.
That's beautiful. But my last question to you, because of I'm part of an organization called the Youth Recreation Association, and our education director is the one and only Steve White. And right now we have an after-school tutorial program started when the school started, most of the kids from John F. Kennedy. Now, with the pandemic running rampant everywhere, and I know we can't just get back on those campuses, what is your advice to areas, the Glades, South County, and everywhere, they don't have the kids with the tutorial program? Because I don't think, and a lot of other people don't think, that the kids can learn as much on the computer because nobody there to watch over them. The parents got to work or do whatever they got to do. What is your opinion about after-school tutorial program, especially in these predominant?
I think now it's critical that we have those programs. They're at this point, because of distance learning, distance learning has been a complete disaster for all students, especially Black students. You know, we all know the saying that when America catches a cold, Black people catch pneumonia. So it's been a complete disaster. So at this point, I'm a full advocate of after school in any kind of way that we can get our community involved in supporting our kids right now. We critically need it, because one of the things that I've been fighting hard, and one of the things I've been complaining about, even before we even entered into the school year, I kind of had the foresight of what was going to happen to our kids who are already suffering a deficit. You know, I hate to use the word achievement gap anyway, because that kind of puts us in an inferior position to white children. It's an educational deficit. It's something that's owed to us as black people in this country. But one of the things that I kind of foresaw that was going to push our kids further behind and deeper into a deficit is that our schools are not weren't adapted to this kind of climate that we're in right now. You know, first of all, a normal classroom or what we called normal classroom environment wasn't working for our kids. But then they want to take that same strategy and apply it to a distance learning strategy, which was going to even put us further out. So, you know, right now with schools and the average school not adapting to this environment and, first of all, not creating an environment that is conducive for the black child, is that it's more important than ever that we have after school, or even if our kids are doing distance learning, can we open up our churches? Can we open up our community centers for our children to even facilitate distance learning in some of those environments with community support behind them?
Okay, that's beautiful, because we started this primarily because our background was always athletic. In order to send the kids off to college, you got to have a certain GPA. But Steve is in charge of that. We talk about this every week to make sure we don't let the kids fall on the wayside because of the pandemic. We can't use that as an excuse. We got to pull together and keep trying to educate the masses and make sure they can have the grades to go off to higher learning, whether it's a vocation school or technical school or college, it doesn't matter. You got to be
absolutely
fighting for a job. So I think that if there's anything that we can do is go before the superintendent or the school board and to talk to them, maybe sometime right now, where because of that, to get funds for a lot of other areas to hire people to tutor the kids, or is that already in place?
No, it's nothing that's fully in place. I'm going to always say, and I communicate this to the community all the time, that you all have a lot of power. Trust me, our community stakeholders are probably the most powerful stakeholders in education. So you all can go before the school board. You know, every school board, the monthly meetings that you have open mic for community. So make sure that your voice is heard. Make sure that we're yelling out and we're unified as a community. Get in front of the superintendent at those board meetings, and those board meetings are public so everybody sees it, and make things happen. And just what happens is our other community stakeholders, they when things happen to their children, when it comes to our white or comes to our Jewish community stakeholders, they unify and they make sure something happens, and they make sure that their power is felt within the school district. But us as a people, as black people, we need to start exercising that very same power that we have. When you talk about student demographics here in Palm Beach County, our black and brown students make up the majority of our school district. So we should be able to exercise that power and understanding that our number one customer is going to be us and our children in our school district. Mm-hmm. When you talk about tax dollars and when you're talking about how much our school district is funded per pupil, 30%, 32% of that funding comes from the black community because of our black mm-hmm. children. So we need to exercise and use that voice. We need to use that voice consistently. And I use the word, and I want to emphasize the word consistent, because what happens and what I'm witnessing within the black community, and this is not me shifting all blame on the black community, because there's a lot of institutional deficiencies. There's a lot of systemic deficiencies. So I never want to preach and place all blame as if black people are our own worst enemy. I'm completely against that kind of talk. But one mm-hmm. of the things that I'm going to say and charge the black community with doing is being more consistent. Let's stop waiting till something happens and stop being reactive about using our power. Stop waiting until you see all these demonstrations and examples of white supremacy on television and the media. Then you want to say we need to teach our history in our school, when you have a whole department dedicated to it within our school district for over two decades that we're not listening to. So we need to be consistent. We need to be persistent, and we need to be resilient in making sure that our voices are heard and we exercise our power as people in the community.
That's beautiful. That's giving me some food for thought, because on our meeting on the 28th, I will bring that up because we will tell Mr. Ferguson and maybe a couple more to be our voice and go before that because that's a great idea. See, because I know that we can raise money in doing that, and I, one of our main sponsors here is really Mrs. McNeil.
Absolutely.
We're gonna act on that. That is number one. Because of, I don't care what problem we have, if we got educated minds and bodies, we will succeed. That just all to it. I appreciate those, Mark.
Absolutely.
I've learned something already.
Absolutely.
I'm finished, Steve. You go, Ann, if you want it.
All right, Ann, did you have a question?
Yes. My question is, what do you think we can do to help support what you're doing?
What was that question? It said, what do you all can do to support what we're doing within our department? The biggest thing, most viable way to really support the work that we're doing is, first of all, when we have community-facing events, if you all can support the community to attend or even view our events, that's the first way that we can start, because we open up anything that we do. Brother Steve can attest that every year we do an annual summer institute around African-American and Caribbean studies. And that's something that we leave accessible to the community for free. So we want to make sure that our community stakeholders attend or even view those events. In addition to any of our community members, when it comes to their local schools, get on that STAT committee, the student advisory committee, or be on a PTA at those local schools, because those committees can have weight and have a voice in what's being taught in the school. We have courses, we have curriculum to make sure that our students can understand their legacies and heritage. But we need our parents to make sure that those schools are offering and make sure that those schools are implementing the curriculum that we've created and provided for our teachers.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Stephen?
Yeah, so if I could just...
Sorry, Steve. I'm writing down what he's saying. He said the FAC and the P...
No, SAC. So that'll be SAC. That'll be SAC committee, School Advisory Committee.
Okay, what's
mm-hmm.
the other one?
So don't. And you just like PTA, Parent Teacher Associations. It's just getting our parents and getting our community involved. SAC is the bigger one because that's going to be the School Advisory Committee, and every single school has a SAC committee, which is compromised of parents and community stakeholders. Like, you don't have to have a kid that goes to that particular school to be part of a SAC committee. I taught at Riviera Beach Preparatory and Achievement Academy, and we had SAC members that were just local community members. And we have a number of schools in Riviera Beach, from Bethune to West Rift to Washington Elementary to Lincoln Elementary to JFK, that you have people that live in that community that can just simply go in and join those school advisory committees.
Okay, because what we want to do here is create some of the next steps, and so Steve and Dan, that's one of the action items we can take in terms of identifying a number of the parents and just volunteers that we know to just begin to populate these committees.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to.
Yeah, those committees have a lot of say so.
Well, the hardest thing is because of I'm a part of a John F. Kennedy volunteer group, is to get the parents to come out to the PTA or PTO or whatever like that. We even tried to feed the parents because we know that the most powerful thing for the kids is for the parents to be involved with the educators, and everybody got to be on the same wavelength. And therefore, when the kids are going awry, somebody going to tell a parent right away, and they need to come up there and listen and get it done. But that's a lot of things that we're going to put on our agenda and with the group, and we're going to do that. We come in before the SAC committee and the school board and voice our opinion.
So if I could jump in real quickly, what Brian brought up, and I really just want to reiterate what he's saying about the school advisory committee, because I have served on the school advisory committee in the past. And I do know that there is real power there, and I'm really glad, Brian, that you brought that up, because we really haven't talked about serving on the SAC committee. And so for parents who are listening and for people who are in the community, like you said, that really is a way to have power at your school, because what I have seen is that at some of these schools, particularly like you take some of the predominantly white schools, say in Boca or out west in Jupiter Farms or Wellington or someplace, their school advisory committees are so strong that those parents and people in the community serve on those committees, and they literally can run that school to a certain extent. And so they can bring in programs, and they can make different things happen. They have a lot of say-so even on who's the principal of this school, a lot of different things.
Yep.
So, yeah, so parents and people in the community who are listening should understand. And also one of the experiences that I had with the school advisory committee is that you can also have principals who will try to discourage people from being involved in the student advisory committee because they don't want you to have the kind of influence that they know that committee will provide. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really glad that you brought that up, Brian, because that is, as Ann was saying, action things that we can do. That is something that all of us can do. That is something that people who are listening can do. Get involved in a student advisory committee, and you'll be amazed at the amount of influence and literally power that you can have to really make some things happen in that particular school. So thank you for that.
And you're right.
I want to just make a suggestion from this call as we're going to wrap up. What we can do from this call and getting with Mr. Knowles, see, we can strategize. Everybody don't have to call and go. And I think that's what happens, going back to what Mr. Calloway is saying. If we strategically do it, we just have 4 or 5 parents, and we can just rotate. People don't mind doing something when they're very clear about the end goal, and it's not meeting just for the sake of meeting and not knowing what the ultimate goal is. So I think coming out of this call and the efforts and conversations we're having with a lot of people between Cal and many of the people we've had on here, I think one of the other steps we can do is get to form I like the word mastermind, if you will. I think we can begin to form a mastermind group of individuals where we can come up with not a lot, just maybe 1 or 2 things we can do. And then we each cycle a lot of these groups that we've had together, you know, because what happens is that parents who are really interested in their kids, they're going to raise their hand by showing their feet and showing up. You don't have to ask them. They're going to automatically be there. And then we can just begin to pull those parents into being a part of what our goal and strategy is. And so those are some thoughts that doesn't cost any money. It's just a commitment of directing the energy that people are already expending, you know. So I'm excited, but I'm excited every week we have the show. So the devil is alive. He tried to prevent it today. And this is why, Steve, now we know why the devil didn't want the show to take place today. But he's a liar, and this is one of the best shows ever. So
yeah, we've got Brian
as
a great, great brother, yes.
Excellent.
We're going to act on it. I know, because on the 28th, Steve was at the meeting, and I represent you, and Steve represented you, and at our last meeting, I told him you were a part of that. That's going to be our number one mission. We'll be talking, that will be on the 28th, and I got a group of 5 of us to meet this Tuesday, and I'll tell Elvin Ferguson, that's one of the things going to be on the agenda. We can do that, and you're right, Ann. We got to put some kind of strategy together and get our stuff together and fight for those kids and everything. We can't be keep saying the parents won't go to PTA or PTO or be on the SAC. No, we got to be sir good parents. We got to do
yes.
that.
Yes, yes, right.
Absolutely,
right.
We can do it.
In addition to that, you know, just being surrogate parents is coming in as a community. And also we must recognize that parents not showing up, sometimes we can't completely place that responsibility on them. You know, we're living in a society where we've never felt empowered, where we've never had a voice. So, you know, as far as all that trauma that has been created by so much racism, we need to do a lot of healing within our community, too, to help our parents and help our community stakeholders find their voice sometime, too.
Yep.
Right, right. So let me say something, because I know, like Ann just said, that time is winding down. So I just want to make two quick points and then I'm finished. And that one is that, again, I appreciate you, Brian, for talking about the school advisory committee. That is definitely something that we can get involved in. And as I was saying, too, to speak on what you just said, I've seen the principals who, as I said before, understand the power that the SAC has, and so it can discourage students. It can make it not. I saw a principal one year, she would have the SAC meetings at a time that she knew was not convenient for the parents to attend if they were working parents. And so, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So she was meeting at 2:30 in the afternoon or something.
A meeting in the morning, like 10 o'clock in the morning. I've
right.
heard about that too.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right. Yes, yeah, I witnessed that, but I was serving on the SAC. So we can, as you say, do that. And the other thing I wanted to come back to real quickly is that the summit, the African American summit that Brian was talking about, that is held every summer, where he bring in some of the most gifted and talented and knowledgeable people to talk about educating black children in particular, to talk about the importance of their history and culture. I've been fortunate and blessed to be a part of that. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
and I've been fortunate to and honored to be a part of that. So we do that every summer, and so we really want parents and teachers and community members to really look for that this summer. Brian actually has the dates and everything, but we want them to know. I mean, this is it's a powerful, what is it, 3 days or 4 days, Brian?
You know, because we're doing it virtual, it's kind of different.
Right.
So they can
pick up on it.
Right. Even if you want to share up, Brother Steve, you've got the link for last year's that people can still access.
Last
year's event is still on the web. So you can go in there and look at all the sessions, look at Brother Steve's his session, which is phenomenal, and just kind of look at what we're doing. So I know this year we are going to go live with our website on June 30th.
Okay, okay. All right, yeah. So that is just unbelievable experience for the people in the community. So I'm finished, and I know time is short, so thank you for the opportunity, and brother, thank you for showing up and sharing this information with us.
Mr. Knowles?
No. Yes, sir.
Mr. Not to aggravate you, is it possible down the line that Steve or I could contact you to come before one of our meetings of the group and make a presentation?
No, yes, sir. No, absolutely. That's not no aggravation. Anything that Brother Steve asked me to do, I'm always going to say yeah. Within reason, of course. But he ain't going to ask me to do nothing crazy, but absolutely.
Well, that's a good deal. Okay. See, it's better to come to them like on a 5:30 or 6 o'clock meeting and stay there for about 15 to 20 to 30 minutes, bring in some information and answer some questions, and then we won't go down there half-cocked. We're going to make this work. Because you are right now, we got an expert with us, Steve, and then to have you there, Tonto and Lone Ranger, so we can really get it done.
Hey, and especially if it's done in the city of Riviera Beach, which is my hometown, I'm all for it.
Oh, are you from Riviera?
Yes, sir, born and raised.
No, you in the kin to Malachi?
Distant cousin. On my dad's side, but my family's actually, I'm 8th generation Palm Beach County.
Yeah, well, I was born right on 30th Street on S Avenue 82 years ago. I was born and reared in Riviera.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. When you all get off the air, he'll share his family with you, Mr. Calloway. You know his family. He can talk with you about that off the air.
Oh, okay.
You definitely know his family. So.
I got you. Well, thank you very much. You were just tremendous. And thank all of y'all. Now I got to go to a funeral.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right, everybody.
Okay.
Have a good day. Thank you so much. And we'll see everybody
peace and blessings.
Again next
thank
Sunday
y'all.
On hashtag by I Am Revere Beach. Thank you. Have a good day. All right, bye-bye.
Next Sunday will be the last of the educators, and it'll be Steve will be the guest. He'll put it all together, and then we go into business.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
See everybody
next Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.